Governor Scott Walker and Wisconsin lawmakers recently approved a $200 million reinsurance program, which is a complex issue that will help pay the claims of Wisconsin residents who get their insurance through the Affordable Care Act, through the marketplaces. It's a very important policy decision, and to help us all understand it, thank you to Eric Borgerding, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Hospital Association.
Thank you,
Eric,
Steve.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Reinsurance, very complex. So give us the overview, the 10,000 feet before we bore down.
Sure.
Why is it important?
Well, primary reason it's important is to, I think, try to stabilize the individual insurance market in Wisconsin, which, as everyone knows, has been undergoing some stress the last few years. We've seen insurance companies leave the exchange, no longer offer plans on the exchange. I think we're down to 11 now. And we've seen premiums going up. I think the average increase this year is about 36%. That's, you know, individual market in Wisconsin on the exchange. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, some of which are exacerbated out of Washington, either as a result of sort of the what I would call the piecemeal dismantling of Obamacare.
Yes.
Congress couldn't repeal and replace Obamacare, so through certain administrative actions or executive orders, we're seeing certain important components of the insurance element of Obamacare taken away.
They're chipping away at the foundations of it, aren't they?
I'd say they're chipping away at important elements of the exchanges and the commercial insurance market aspects of Obamacare that have that were in place to try and keep premiums in check. Now, that's not to say that Obamacare and the exchanges and the premiums on the exchanges were not undergoing some serious problems well before November of 2016 or some of the changes we've seen since the presidential election. There's no question that the exchanges needed help. They needed some fixing. And so I think in the given the inability of Congress to statutorily repeal Obamacare, and if it ever is repealed, we hope it is replaced, not just let nothing in its place. But given the inability of a statutory change to Obamacare, we think it's important that the challenges that the individual insurance market is facing be addressed. And so that's why we're pretty optimistic and encouraged by some of the steps Wisconsin's been taking.
Does the reinsurance fund or the reinsurance program only help the about 225,000 Wisconsin residents who get their who buy their health care through the marketplaces and the ACA?
Yeah, the reinsurance pool is meant to stabilize premiums in the individual market. So it's not a new concept. It's something Wisconsin...
Alaska has it, Minnesota has it, Oregon has it?
Correct.
Excuse me for interrupting.
Yep, no, that's correct. And, you know, the notion of some sort of government role in stabilizing individual insurance premiums is not new. And it's certainly not new to Wisconsin. We once had the health insurance risk-sharing
pool,
which was an actual insurance plan. For folks who had pre-existing conditions or who were high risk and had been denied by insurance companies coverage. But that's a lot different than a reinsurance plan or reinsurance program, which is actually created to pay some of the higher cost claims for individuals in the individual market.
Does a reinsurance fund primarily help insurance companies and indirectly help your members, the hospitals, or... how does that all flow?
Well, I think it helps the insurance market. It helps sustain coverage, which for us is really priority number one in healthcare reform. It's expanding coverage and now today sustaining those coverage expansions. So it helps insurance companies in the sense that participating in the individual market might not be such a risk as it's proven to be for some
you
of
think
them.
Some of them might get back in. We're down to 11.
Yeah, I would hope so. I think that's one of the intended impacts of the reinsurance pool program. To the extent that it preserves coverage or even expands coverage, that's positive for the individuals who. Who have either lost their coverage or who are finding it increasingly difficult to afford coverage. And of course, for healthcare providers, the more people that have insurance coverage, the better, because that results in less uncompensated care at our hospitals and clinics, and it results in less unpaid costs that we have to shift onto everyone else. So I think reinsurance is a component of stabilizing the markets, and it's an important one, and we're very appreciative of the bipartisan group that has come together to forward this proposal in Wisconsin.
Well, it's predicated on $150 million from the feds and $50 million in, do I have this right, savings from our Medicaid program? No?
Not necessarily.
Okay. But $150 from the feds, and what's the source of the state 50?
No, that's how it started. So you're on target there. How it's evolved over the last few months and when the legislation was introduced is the estimate now out of OCI is, I think, 170, out of the administration is $170 million from the feds, $30 million from the state, and where that $30 million comes from is not defined. When the bill was originally introduced, the state's share, which at that time was estimated to be $50 million, mm-hmm. would have come from a lapse from the Medicaid program. I don't think we should be lapsing anything from the Medicaid program, but legislature changed that provision in the bill and removed the Medicaid-specific lapse for the state's share of the funding for reinsurance. So we view that as an improvement to the bill, but now it's at about 170-30.
170-30. Mm-hmm. And the source of the 30, which now we're talking here about the next state budget.
Correct.
2019 through 21. So don't have to come up with that if it's approved by the federal government. Is that a big if, do you think, Eric?
I don't think it's a big if. I think it's probably a smaller if at this point. We've seen CMS and the Trump administration being pretty amenable to state efforts to improve their insurance markets, and we've already seen the track record of some of the other states that have received the approval for this. So we're optimistic. It's always an if. I just don't know if it's a real big if.
Is it even more needed because Congress and the President removed the mandate that had been part of the original ACA, thou must have insurance or pay a penalty? Is it even more needed because that's gone?
Well, it's a good question, and there's other elements, there's other factors that I think are contributing to the instability of the individual insurance market, some of which are just the mechanics of Obamacare mm-hmm. and the way it was structured and the way it's been playing out as opposed to the way it was intended to play out. So, for example, nowhere near as many young, healthy individuals signed up for coverage in the exchanges as was anticipated and as was frankly needed to have sort of stable premiums in the exchanges. And that's part of the reason why we've been seeing premiums going up, insurers saying there's just too much risk here, we can't make it work, and backing out.
Right.
So there's a lot of reasons why market has become unstable, particularly within the exchanges. So, this will help that. I think that there's other things that are a concern. But to your question, the mandate isn't really gone until next year.
2019.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think the jury's kind of out on how significant that will be. I don't think it will help that it's going away. But I think there's differing opinions on how significant the negative impact will be going forward. I think other issues that are out there include the refusal to continue funding the cost-sharing reductions or the CSR subsidies. That certainly has contributed to insurer angst about continuing to participate in the exchanges, and it's certainly contributed to some of the premium increases. Now, what's interesting in all of this is that it's really kind of ironic in that even though premiums in the exchange have been going up precipitously, the impact on most people who are buying coverage in the exchange has been blunted or minimized by the fact that they receive income-based subsidies
from the federal
to help purchase insurance.
Income-based.
Income-based. So income-based meaning the amount of the subsidy you know, being based upon your income.
The higher income, less subsidy.
Correct. Between 100% and 400% of the federal poverty level is that eligibility range for a subsidy. What I'm really getting at is some of the actions either taken purposefully in Washington or just some of the things that are inherently problematic in Obamacare that need to be fixed are causing premiums to go up. But when you consider that the subsidy for a premium, which you qualify for based on your income, is tied to the amount of the premium. Mm-hmm. The subsidy is a percentage of the premium, mm-hmm. not a dollar amount, like a fixed dollar.
So as that premium goes up, average 36%, go ahead and finish that thought.
You're right. I know where you're going with that. And so does the amount of the subsidy. So in the sort of interesting twist of all this, while the feds have stopped the CSR subsidies, one of the byproducts of that, I think, is contributing to the increase in premiums, which just means more federal spending on the subsidy side.
I was very interested in what the State Journal reported in who buys in Wisconsin their insurance through the marketplace. 53% of those are age 45 to 64. That is 10 percentage points higher than the national average. What does that mean for your members?
Well, it means a number of things, not just for our members, but for our members.
For healthcare.
For healthcare, for our members, for providers. It means that, you know, older folks, which you and I are both a part of, so we can talk about
that. I'm raising my hand, yes.
Have coverage, and that's very positive because they tend to, as we get older, you know, our utilization of the healthcare system just naturally goes up.
More complex medical issues
exactly.
and conditions.
Exactly. And so... older, sicker, if you will, individuals in receiving their coverage in the exchange is having coverage is positive. And in the exchange, there are mechanisms there that sort of level out premiums. The counter to that, of course, though, is that we don't have, as I said earlier, we don't have as many younger, healthier people participating in the exchange as was anticipated and as some would say is needed in order to kind of balance out the risk within the larger insurance pool. So you have some people using health insurance more frequently up here, some
Great
down
deal.
Here,
yep.
kind of cross-subsidize each other and it balances. So that doesn't surprise me that that's who's getting their coverage in the exchange because it's accessible and relatively affordable insurance.
Let's talk about the nuts and bolts of this program. Under reinsurance, the reinsurance fund or the reinsurance pool would pay 80% of claims, do I have this right, between $50,000 and $250,000?
That was accurate a couple months ago.
Okay.
So you're
it's a moving target.
You're definitely on track.
Well,
so
thanks for correcting me. So
it's evolved because so when the bill was introduced or first this whole concept was first being discussed, that was correct. I think
that
was
the range.
Yes.
But.
So the sort of corridor, if you will, of claims is still $50,000 to $250,000. So a claim that costs that much will be paid out of this reinsurance pool. The question is what percentage of that claim. The most recent information that we've seen, I think it was from OCI, is estimating, I think, something between 55 and 60%, something in that range. I might be off by a couple points. That percent of the claim. So down from 80, more to sort of like 55 to 60, something like that. So that's been adjusted.
Okay.
And I think the impact that it's anticipated to have on premiums is about a 10% reduction. And the issue there, I'm sorry, Steve.
Go ahead.
The issue there is, you know, the program is capped at $200 million. That's one of the things that the legislature, one of the changes the legislature made.
So,
and so you have to work within that $200 million figure. And so if you can't go higher than $200, you have to sort of adjust the dials within the reinsurance program. And one of the dials to adjust is what is the percentage of the of the claim that will be paid by the reinsurance.
So the latest estimate, correct me now, let's go back over it, is that claims of what size between what and what would be paid?
$50,000 to $250,000.
And the estimate is what percentage of those claims now, how much?
I think it's range, they're estimating between, I think around, I'd have to double check the numbers, but I think it's somewhere about like 50 to 55%. It's about a 10 or 15 point range.
Claims that big are largely or always submitted by hospitals. I mean, aren't we largely talking about?
I think that's probably true, but you know, it could be a different, it could be sort of a bundled claim or something like that that reflects an episode of care as opposed to a specific procedure or service. But that's probably accurate.
Now, assuming the feds sign off, we're talking about the reinsurance fund. 2019, is it 2019 only, or does the bill that the governor signed carry it forward fiscal calendar 2020 and 2021?
Good question. I'm not quite exactly sure what the time frame is, or I think a better way to phrase that is what would be the length of the waiver, because we do a lot of things under waivers with That's the federal true. Government. I mean, our childless adults coverage in Medicaid. For those under 100% FPL, which is substantially, by the way, increased coverage in Medicaid in Wisconsin, even though we rejected Medicaid expansion a la Obamacare. Maybe another
subject. Should we continue to reject it?
Well, hard to say. I think that we would like to see, because you have to kind of deal with the political realities. We still support Medicaid expansion. We think it makes sense. But having said that, we also acknowledge that the path Wisconsin chose on Medicaid expansion has been largely successful. And by the way, one of the reasons it's been successful is because we have leaned so heavily on the insurance exchanges in Obamacare. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like our approach to Medicaid in reducing eligibility to 100% FPL, federal poverty level, was partnered with people having access to affordable coverage above 100% FPL in their income level on the exchange. So they're kind of dependent on each other as it relates to that being sort of a cohesive strategy to expand insurance coverage in Wisconsin. So if the exchanges start to falter, then we start to come back and maybe start to say, okay, is the path that Wisconsin chose on Medicaid expansion still the right path? Because you have to have the two working together.
But you've heard the Democratic candidates for governor that because Wisconsin did not expand its Medicaid, federal dollars that could have gone to Wisconsin are going to other
yes.
states. Is that too simplistic a statement, or is it accurate?
No, I think on its face it's accurate. Now, I mean, our dollars we're not getting going to other states. I don't know if they're going to other states because we didn't take them. They're just going to other states because the states took those dollars. Two things I would say about that, though. Number one, we believe that the state should press, the Trump administration should press CMS to interpret what we did here in Wisconsin as expansion, because we absolutely expanded. We have a lower uninsured rate in the state than I think all but six of the states that expanded Medicaid under Obamacare. So we think that Wisconsin should receive that enhanced federal money for the expansion we did do. And
yes.
Senator Johnson,
to cover everybody under the federal
100%
poverty
of
level.
Yep.
Right.
We expanded. We just like Illinois expanded to cover people under 100% of FPL, they went a little further, but they're getting 90% federal funding for that population, so should we. But there's one more point I want to make about that federal money. We still support getting that those federal dollars, whether through full Medicaid expansion, because by the way, I really don't think Medicaid expansion is going to be repealed. So we still support that, and we also support full funding or the enhanced federal match for the expansion we did do. But what's really interesting, Steve, in this discussion is how those dollars would be used. I remember a few years ago now, and I won't get too specific, when we were being pressed, WHA was being pressed very hard to come out swinging, all in. Go to the mat, burn bridges to get Medicaid expansion done in Wisconsin.
For the expansion, yes.
And we were, very sort of strategic about our support. But what's really interesting is the people that were pressing us the hardest, and by the way, they weren't from the Democrat side of the aisle. This is 4 years ago now or so. Really were more interested in K-12 funding, university funding, all important, you know, expenses for the state. But what they really wanted was those federal dollars for Medicaid, so that they could be directly or indirectly used for other things.
Right.
So our caution on all of this is that, you know, if Wisconsin is going to get enhanced federal dollars for Medicaid, then it should be used for Medicaid. If we're going to get 90% funding, if we're going to get funding from the federal government to cover 90% of the cost of our Medicaid program, particularly for that expanded population, then let's make sure we're using those dollars for that purpose.
Was it a major policy reversal on the part of the governor who had said, along with Republicans in Washington, repeal and replace the ACA? Was it a major pivot on his part to recommend and sign into law the reinsurance fund?
Actually, I get the politics on that, but I don't think so at all. And I really am very positive about the way Democrats and Republicans, or another way to think of it, those who want to repeal Obamacare, those who want to keep Obamacare, mm-hmm. coming together and I think realizing, well, Obamacare is still the law of the land.
Yes.
It's getting kind of piecemeal chipped away, which is causing some of our a need to sort of plug holes and fix things. But it's the law of the land, and I think it's a pragmatic and rational approach to using the tools that are within the ACA, the waiver to create a reinsurance fund, to shore up and stabilize and sustain the markets, but sustain that coverage expansion that we've achieved in Wisconsin. We're very, very grateful that there's been leadership from the governor on this, knowing that he'd probably expose himself to sort of, you know, political commentary like that. But the fact is, you know, until Obamacare is repealed and replaced, I think we have to do everything we can to sustain that coverage expansion.
What would have meant for Wisconsin health care if there had been no reinsurance proposal signed into law? What was the other side?
Sure. I think if no reinsurance, you know, it's all speculative, right? Insurance is this very sort of actuarial, speculative business. You know, risk, and how much risk do you want to take, and how much risk can you predict? So, you know, from the best estimates that we've seen, you know, a reinsurance fund will have about a 10% impact on premiums. So, if that wasn't there, and if we weren't doing anything else, if Congress doesn't do anything else related to maybe funding the CSRs or stabilizing the markets in some other way, I think what we would simply see. I see no other reason to think that what we wouldn't see is just a continuing progression mm-hmm. of the trends that we've been seeing. So insurance premiums going like
36% bump,
yep.
fewer people opting because the mandate is gone in 2019.
Possibly. And also, but even as or more concerning, fewer health insurers participating
yes.
in the exchanges.
Drop below 11 that you mentioned earlier.
Correct.
What percentage of Wisconsin hospital revenues come from Medicare and Medicaid, just roughly?
Oh, boy, it varies. It varies from hospital to hospital. So you might have, for example, Aurora Sinai in Milwaukee or Ascension St. Joseph's in Milwaukee, whose payer mix is the technical term, might be over 50%.
Mm-hmm.
coming from Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
right? So think of that and what that means. Medicaid is typically reimbursing Medicaid, not Medicare, Medicaid.
We're just talking Medicaid, the state
yes.
program.
The state makes a lot of the decisions about Medicaid,
yep.
including reimbursement rates. Medicaid is reimbursing Wisconsin hospitals on average about 65 cents for every dollar they spend, not charge, spend taking care of a Medicaid patient. So for some hospitals,
and is that ratio, that reimbursement rate of 65%, not gone up for X number of years?
It's the legislature's done some positive things, and they deserve a lot of credit for this. They've created and now expanded what's called the Disproportionate Share Hospital Program, or DSH, mm-hmm. which is a Medicaid payment add-on for hospitals that reach a certain threshold of Medicaid patients in their payer mix. Done some positive things there. They've done some very positive things to boost Medicaid reimbursement for certain rural hospitals. What that's done, coupled with I think, well-documented progress that Wisconsin hospitals have made in moderating their cost, you know, their operating cost, their cost, what it costs them to provide care, has kept us at about 65% of cost.
Okay.
We've been about there for a few years now. We haven't been going like this. We kind of stopped the downward trend, and that's where we are today. But to your question, it depends. It varies. Some hospitals have a very high Medicaid payer mix, very high uninsured, meaning no reimbursement, 0% of cost being reimbursed. Some hospitals are very small, very small in their Medicaid or uncompensated care mix, and it tends to be geographic, and it tends to follow economic trends from a geographic perspective.
Generally, how healthy are Wisconsin hospitals here as we sit here late in March of 2018?
We're pretty good. I think that the coverage expansions have helped minimize uncompensated care. Coverage expansion hasn't, and ironically, the growth in Medicaid coverage has actually sort of exacerbated that cost shift from Medicaid in a way. But that's been sort of balanced out by the reductions in uncompensated care because more people have insurance. So those two things, you know, when more people have insurance, that's less unpaid for care that we have to either eat or pass on to others, thus increasing the cost of health care for everyone else. So that's been a positive trend. But if you look at, you can measure hospital health a lot of different ways by looking at margin or those sorts of things. Those have been trending down a little bit. But I think it's really important, Steve, when we focus, not to just focus on the hospital, because most hospitals in Wisconsin today, in fact, all of them, to some degree, are a component of a larger health system.
Yeah.
And so when we look at the health of a hospital, whether it be good or bad, it really is a component of the larger health system.
System
it's
in
one
which
component.
They are part of.
And so we tend to, in those, typically, if a hospital is doing okay, that's not necessarily the case for the overall system. So we're the Wisconsin Hospital Association, but to be quite honest, our agenda is far broader than just what goes on in the walls of the hospital. So we look at financial health of a hospital really increasingly in the broader sense of the financial health of the healthcare system.
Because Wisconsin did adopt this $200 million reinsurance program, what's your advice to someone getting there, that one of the 225,000 Wisconsin residents buying their health care through the marketplace through the ACA? What's your advice to them?
Stay the course. I think by and large, most people that are, I think something like 89% of the people who are buying their insurance on the health insurance exchange are receiving that subsidy I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think the biggest concern to a consumer in the marketplace is, yes, the premium increases to the extent they're feeling them, but also resulting growth in out-of-pocket costs, but also a decline in choices that they might have on the exchange. So if you look at the interest in the Obamacare exchanges remains as strong as ever. Enrollment, you know, almost 250,000, the vast majority of the individual market in insurance market in Wisconsin is delivered through the exchanges.
Right.
So I think that for a consumer purchasing coverage on the exchange, it's certainly becoming more concerning. But I think it's still a very good option for them compared to, you know, what other choices they have. And hopefully for them, the reinsurance program will bring more choices back into, will result in more insurers coming back
into
the market.
Will indeed stabilize the Wisconsin market.
I hope so. And I think if you're a consumer, you should be optimistic about some of the steps that the state of Wisconsin is taking to stabilize the Obamacare insurance market.
Okay, last question because we're almost out of time. What's the top priority of the Hospital Association going into the next state budget cycle?
Sure.
Given the uncertainty, nobody knows what's going to happen in Washington with the midterm elections. So you've got to focus on the Capitol one block away.
Yeah.
Top priority?
Well, I'm going to say three, and then we're running out of time. But we surveyed our member CEOs last fall, and they basically said, what are the three things that keep you up at night? In this order, workforce.
Yes.
Reimbursement from government programs, Medicaid and Medicare, and the stability of the insurance market. So as we are putting together our 2019, 2020 budget agenda right now. Mm-hmm. We're a very proactive organization. So we're going to be looking at all three of those areas. Workforce, what can we do to continue growing our healthcare workforce in Wisconsin, growing our own? We've made some tremendous, the legislature and the governor, we've got huge challenges in healthcare workforce, as we do everywhere across the state. But the legislature,
shortage of physicians, shortage of nurses, you and I have seen the stats, excuse me.
Absolutely. You and I were just in a different conversation the other day about this. And it's really it's a pressing problem for all sectors and all industries, but for healthcare, I would argue in particular, because demand for our service is not necessarily driven by demand for steel or demand for motorcycles or demand. I mean, those are all positive and important. Don't get me wrong. Demand for our service is driven largely by demographics, and you look at the aging by 2030.
Yes.
Wisconsin's population that's 65 and older is anticipated to double. That will place tremendous demand on the healthcare system and thus our healthcare workforce. So I really want to give the legislature and the governor tremendous credit for doing some very, very positive things the last two state budgets when it comes to workforce, probably the subject of a whole other discussion. And we're going to be looking to expand on those in the next budget. We're going to be looking to further improve Medicaid reimbursement across the continuum of health care. Remember I said we are health systems that we represent.
Yes.
Across the continuum of health care. And then also continue to look at other ways we can partner with the Walker administration, CMS, the legislature, and Congress to further stabilize the insurance market, as long as Obamacare is still the law of the land.
Do you want to add the caveat, partner with the Walker administration, or if a Democrat
yes.
is elected?
I mean, we're going to be partnering with the Walker administration yet this year because there's a lot still going on. But
on the next budget,
whoever the governor is. And whoever the legislature
but
is.
But reinsurance took a major step forward in terms of stabilizing your priorities.
I think it was a major component of stabilizing the insurance market. And again, I underscore how important it's one of the greatest examples among a few the last few years of really both sides of the aisle coming together and doing good health care policy.
Okay.
That
Eric,
makes good politics.
Eric Borgerding, President and CEO of Wisconsin Hospital Association. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks.